Hello, and welcome to Tantrum, our report on CHMA 106.9 FM, broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Friday, October 15th. Coming up on today's show, we hear from Memramcook Tantramar MLA Megan Mitten, who is calling for a formal independent investigation into the outbreak of COVID-19 at the Drew Nursing Home in Sackville. Mitten says she wants to know if the province's response to the outbreak was adequate. That's coming up shortly. And Art Across the Marsh is an annual studio tour involving 19 different artists across the Tantramar region. The event was scheduled to go ahead this weekend following circuit breaker protocols, but after a call from public health, the studio tour is canceled for a second year in a row. I spoke with artist and organizer Robert Lyon on Wednesday to find out what happened, and that conversation is coming up later. But first, some more local news and information. There was more bad news in yesterday's COVID-19 numbers. Two more people died with COVID-19 in the province, and another 133 people have tested positive with the disease. 39 of those are in Zone 1. There are now 1,103 active cases of COVID-19 in the province, and 382 of those are in Zone 1. A total of 63 people are in hospital, and 19 of those are in an ICU. The province also announced a big change to the rapid testing program in New Brunswick yesterday. Starting on Saturday, people in circuit breaker areas who do not have COVID-19 symptoms will be able to pick up a free rapid test kit which they can administer at home. There are just three locations province-wide where kits can be picked up for now. In Moncton, the Magic Mountain parking lot, located just off Mountain Road, is the designated distribution spot on Saturday, October 16th, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. There are also distribution points in Perth Andover and Grand Falls. The program is for people who do not have symptoms and have not been identified by public health as a close contact of a confirmed COVID-19 case. Each testing kit has 5 tests to be used over a 10-day period. The tests can be used with anyone 2 and older, but people 16 and under must be accompanied by an adult to acquire a testing kit. A negative result on a rapid test indicates that there's not a significant presence of the coronavirus in that person at that time. Rapid antigen tests work differently than lab-based PCR tests. Rapid tests identify bits of protein in the virus and are accurate between 50 and 95% of the time. They are considered short-term results, as they don't detect trace amounts of the virus. PCR tests are more accurate and work by identifying the genetic presence of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. PCR is accurate about 98% of the time, but results are slower with a PCR test, and so rapid antigen tests have also become a popular tool, especially for people concerned about possible exposure, but with no symptoms and no contact from public health. In the announcement on Thursday, Dr. Jennifer Russell reminded people that if they come up with a positive result from a rapid antigen test, they should immediately contact public health to book a PCR lab test for confirmation. She also said it's important to remember that rapid antigen results really only reflect a person's status for a moment in time. The province says that although the program is starting in the circuit breaker areas, it will be expanded across New Brunswick. Sackville normally punches above its weight in the movies department thanks to the enduring presence of the Vogue Cinema and institutions like the Sackville Film Society. But next week, the film offerings are expanding. From Tuesday to Thursday, the Ramen Film Festival will feature 3 films centered on, you guessed it, ramen, the Japanese noodle dish. The Ramen Film Festival is put on by the Japanese Foodways class at Mount Allison, taught by Dr. Tim Reifenstein. Tim will join us on Monday's Tantramar Report to talk ramen and films. Memramcook Tantramar MLA Megan Mitten is calling for a formal independent investigation into the outbreak of COVID-19 at the Drew Nursing Home in Sackville. I called up Mitten this week to find out more about her call and what prompted it.
Megan Mitten, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Erica.
So, why do you think we need an independent investigation into what happened at the Drew?
Well, I think it's really important that we know whether the government's response to this wave of the pandemic, and specifically the outbreak at the Drew, was adequate or not. And over the last few months, it seems like the Higgs government's been asleep at the wheel. They got rid of all the restrictions at the end of July and seemed to hesitate to re-implement them, even though we know the Delta variant was bringing a really strong fourth wave to New Brunswick. And so we've had 8 deaths at the Drew Nursing Home. I want to extend my condolences to all of those who lost a loved one. And we've had many residents and staff who have contracted the virus. And so the thing is, we need to know whether the government's response was adequate and what went wrong here. And we need more transparency. We have seen the government report less and less on things like situations like long-term care facilities having cases. And luckily, the Drew has been transparent. And thanks to your reporting, we've actually known what's been happening in Sackville.
There was a marked difference for the fourth wave that, in previous waves, we did, each press release gave sort of detailed updates on what was happening at long-term care homes because there were so many people there at risk, I guess. When were you first concerned about what was happening and how it was handled?
Well, early on, so back in September, I was concerned that maybe not enough resources were being directed there, and that I was just concerned in general. When you have an outbreak in a long-term care facility, we know that that's a high-risk setting. And I know that from the beginning of the pandemic, you know, the staff and the people at the Drew have been working so hard to you know, follow government guidelines. And from my understanding, they have, but obviously something is different with this outbreak. And so I did reach out to the Minister of Health and the Minister of Social Development and Dr. Russell and the Premier, and this was in September, and I did again in early October when I didn't receive a response. And some of the concerns I had were, why are testing times taking so long, especially when I think priority should be given to test results from an outbreak in a long-term care facility. And I expressed that I was concerned that that potentially prompt wasn't containing the virus, wasn't containing the situation as much as it needed to.
Mm-hmm. It certainly did seem to take quite a number of days before even all the swabs were taken for all staff and residents. I believe, like, you know, in the past we've expected, you know, as soon as there's a case in a long-term care facility, everyone's tested immediately. At the Drew, it did seem to take about 5 or 6 days. It's difficult to tell because, of course, the results also were taking a long time to come in. So,
And if I can just add,
go ahead.
You know, this, it seems to be part of a broader problem that the Higgs government really scaled back the pandemic response in August. And then as the fourth wave ramped up in September, they were caught flat-footed and couldn't respond, because we know that outside of the Drew, people were waiting sometimes over a week to get their tests done. So it seems to be potentially part of a bigger problem in the government's response to this wave of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard from family members or residents at the Drew who are concerned about this?
I've heard from some people at the Drew and at different points during this outbreak, and I know that the community beyond the Drew, Sackville and broader community and the Drew are heartbroken over what's happened, because we've lost 8 members of the community, and I know that the people working at the Drew are have been working hard since before the pandemic, and we already know that in long-term care facilities there's a staffing crunch, pre-pandemic that existed, and then having staff contract COVID, that means that it was even tighter in this situation.
Mm-hmm. How would it work? I mean, you've put out the call for an independent investigation.
do you want the Department of Health to sort of hire a consultant to just sort of take a look at it? What do you envision there?
You know, I think sort of a standard practice would be to have someone, you know, with a fresh set of eyes to take a look at was the government's response adequate? Was prompt there fast enough? And that's the rapid outbreak management team. Were they spread too thin? We know that they, a few weeks ago, we found out they were in 15 different locations, and there haven't been a lot of updates around that, but was prompt spread too thin? Were the tests taking too long? These types of things are questions that I think need to be answered.
All right, Megan. Well, we'll pay attention and hopefully you get some answers.
Well, thank you. I hope so too.
That was Memram Cook-Tantramar MLA Megan Mitten. It's been just over a month since the first case in the outbreak at the Jew nursing home was discovered on September 13th. According to accounts from staff, public health did not complete testing on all staff and residents until 5 days later, on Saturday, September 18th. On September 20th, Chief Medical Officer of Health Jennifer Russell responded to a question about the situation at the home, saying that she did not have situational awareness around the Drew, but confirmed that particular location has not been declared an outbreak. At the time, the Drew had 10 confirmed cases. By the next day, September 21st, the confirmed case count was up to 22, with 16 residents and 6 staff testing positive. On September 26th, Executive Director Linda Shannon announced the first 2 deaths at the home related to the outbreak. 8 residents in all have passed away with COVID-19 at the Drew, and a total of 40 cases have been diagnosed. The results are in on another round of testing that took place Tuesday of this week, and we hope to have those numbers for you soon. There have been some reactions to Mitten's call. Catherine Gaw is the chair of the board for the United Church Home for Senior Citizens, which operates the Drew Nursing Home. Gaw issued a press statement on Wednesday outlining the situation and calling for a pause on scrutinizing what's happened. Gaw wrote, "At this point in time, we would urge everyone to push pause on any calls for a review of the process. Please know that the executive director, Linda Shannon, is in regular meetings with the medical and government officials, and the workings of the response efforts are monitored constantly. The important thing is to support the ongoing efforts to bring this outbreak to a resolution." At a news conference on Tuesday, CBC reporter Bobby Jean McKinnon asked Health Minister Dorothy Shepherd about Mitten's call for an investigation. Shepherd dismissed the request as opposition posturing and promised to answer any questions that didn't violate privacy laws.
"Well, it's not unlike opposition to call for independent investigations into pretty much anything, and I'm not downplaying the significance of the Drew outbreak. It has been a difficult time in that facility. I'm not quite sure what questions she's looking to have answered, but I'd be more than happy to take questions under advisement and give as much information as we can, along with protecting privacy of individuals associated with that. But we haven't been shy to certainly evaluate every single outbreak in every single long-term facility that we have. Public health helps us with that. EMA and B and the prompt teams are extremely adept in working through the challenges that they present. And we're very transparent. So if they can't get answers to their questions, we could take it under advisement. But I'm not sure of any questions that they would ask that we wouldn't answer."
CHMA has a number of outstanding information requests to the province, including a question about the apparent change in the response to COVID-19 cases in long-term care facilities during this fourth wave. We'll publish an update as soon as we get those answers. For the second year in a row, the Art Across the Marsh studio tour has been canceled due to COVID-19. I called up organizer and artist Robert Lyon to get the lowdown on what happened with this year's event and the impacts it could have on local artists.
So, Robert, you have some bad news to share.
We do. Unfortunately, we have had to cancel the studio tour, the Art Across the Marsh studio tour, for the second year in a row. Last year, it was because of the lockdown in the Moncton area. It happened 3 or 4 days before the studio tour, so that was understandable. You know, regrettable, but understandable. And then this year we debated about whether to do it. Everything was looking good when we started planning, and we proceeded from there. And, you know, we have to print brochures and organize it all. And even when they brought in the two-week circuit breaker, we just kind of changed the protocols and told, you know, posted and advertised that any visitors would have to be fully vaccinated and show proof of that, and masks would be mandatory, and social distancing, all the protocols that are commonplace everywhere.
Seemed like it was going ahead. What changed?
Yes. I received a phone call yesterday from New Brunswick Public Health advising me that some of the participants, their studio is in their home, and so they would be having, you know, visitors coming into their home, into the studio in their house. And those people were not allowed, under any circumstances, were not allowed to have people in their home. And
so it didn't matter that they said that they were planning to, you know, check for vaccination status, that sort of thing.
No, they basically said they're not businesses, that it's no different than having people over for Thanksgiving dinner. Even though we're following all the protocols and asking for proof of vaccination, you know, I don't know what else we could do to, you know, be cautious about it and to follow protocols. And then some of the studios are like my own, where, yes, my studio is where I live, but it's in a separate building. So where does that fall? You know, I am a studio. I'm open to the public, and you know, and then some are galleries. So basically we were caught in the conundrum of, we are, some of the participants are allowed to be open, but strongly advised not to, was the words from NB Public Health. And at the same time, we are literally art across the marsh. So our whole concept is kind of the Tanchmar region and Northern Nova Scotia, Amherst in that. So now we have two sets of rules again between Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. So do we operate the studio tour as a Nova Scotia only event, or just New Brunswick, or sorry, just cancel the New Brunswick part.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, all the participants were so gracious, and we just discussed it last night and decided the best thing is just to cancel the event altogether. It would just cause too much confusion to now say, after the maps are out there and the brochures and everything, to say you can go to this one but not go to that one, you can go to this one but not that one, not that one, not that one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's just frustrating, because as I mentioned to the person of public health, the government messaging is creating so much confusion and so many gray areas. And then they wonder why people are getting frustrated and why people are, you know, in some cases ignoring the rules or not heeding them as they should. And that causes more issues for those of us that are, you know. So it's, you know, people can look at it and go, well, that's too bad. You know, it's, you know, people aren't going to be able to display their art or anything. But for this region, like, this is the 22nd year of Art Across the Marsh Studio Tour. And effectively, we would generate revenue over the course of the tour, upwards of $20,000 or $30,000, that would go back into this region, right? So it's an economic impact as well. It's not just, you know, bunt, 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 it's the arts. You know, you look at Sackville, and the arts are a huge economic engine in this community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are an industry, basically, by the very definition. And all of the arts are suffering terribly.
Yeah, and most of the studios are producing art for sale. Like, it's that, you know, they have open studios and they're selling their creations, and it's that is part of the livelihood of those artists, I would assume.
Exactly. For a lot of us, like myself, I'm a full-time artist. This is what I do for a living. And for, you know, even the other artists that may have a job outside of the arts, you know, this is still, it's a major stepping stone for them to get to the point where they can be a full-time artist. You know, people have always enjoyed coming out on the tour, and you know, I don't mean to, limit the concerns about COVID. And it's very real and it's, you know, pretty scary. But, you know, life still has to go on to some extent. And if we're following the protocols and, you know, if government is following the science as they are and they're advising as they deem fit and we're following those rules, well, it, you know, how are we then told we can't operate?
Yeah.
And at the same time, you know, from my perspective as a business, the government, so this is the second year in a row that we have been shut down, and the New Brunswick government has offered nothing in the way of compensation for small businesses that have been affected by shutdowns and lockdowns. I know they had a program where, you know, they would offer a little bit of money, but when you looked into it, A, you have to have employees, and B, the requirements for it to fit are so minimal that I don't think very many businesses would fit into that. So there's no compensation, there's no, you know, no nothing. Everybody's taking a hit during COVID, but the government is not doing anything to help, you know, offset. So yes, we will come out the other side of COVID one day, but you kind of sit there and go, and what's going to be left?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so you'd like to see not only like sort of more clarity around the rules as they're structured and have them, you know, make a bit more sense up front, but then also you'd like to see, when there are impacts on small businesses, you'd like to see some help coming from the provincial government.
I would very much. It's, you know, I don't mean to make it sound like a charity case or anything like that, but, you know, I mean, just as a parallel story, you know, everybody's property tax just went up, except the major industries. You know, i.e. the Irvings, you know, their mills only went up 1% after they received a 14% reduction back in like 2013, 2014, because the markets were slow. So I'm just asking for, you know, a level playing field. If you're going to do that for big industries when they're having a hard time, why are you not doing it for small businesses, which are the backbone of the economy in New Brunswick? If, you know, you look at Sackville. We are primarily small mom-and-pop shops, and Sackville is indicative of most small communities in New Brunswick. And I know a lot of them really well, and everybody is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's just, there's no financial support, there's no real support of any kind, even outside of financial, from the provincial government. You know, there has been some from federal government, which has been good, but we're in New Brunswick. New Brunswick should be looking after its own.
Now, is there any hope for a postponement of Art Across the Marsh? Could it happen later? I know I've told my family that we're going to celebrate American Thanksgiving, hopefully this year.
Yeah.
So is there any chance that it could still happen this year, considering that it's the second year in a row?
That was one of the debates we had last night. A couple people suggested postponing it, but my hesitancy comes from, I don't know, maybe I'm just being cynical at this point, but I really don't see a clear path forward. Like I can't sit there and say things are going to be better a month from now. I could see us at Christmas time still being in a mess. So, you know, do we just schedule for another date? And then have to cancel that, schedule for another date, have to cancel that. It's, you know, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of money and it causes a lot of confusion with visitors, you know, when you're constantly on the move and changing. Hopefully what we're looking at doing is seeing if we can organize a virtual event on our Facebook page or something over the next month. But we're just seeing if we can pull that together.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll keep it posted on what ends up happening.
I will certainly do that.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're sorry to hear about it. And best of luck with the virtual event. And
Thank you. It's one of those things. And I mean, it's just one small story in, you know, a province of 1,000 small stories that we're all going through something.
An ongoing struggle. It continues and continues.
It is. Yeah. But I think the government could help itself and help the people of New Brunswick a lot more just by having clear messaging and clearly defined, you know, guidelines as to what is permitted and what is not and why. That's right. The other big thing. You know, not just arbitrary rules that people scratch their heads about, you know.
But you want to know sort of the reasoning behind the rules to help give them some weight?
I think so. And that's not just, you know, with the studio tour and work, but in all aspects. I have been high school basketball coach for years here at Tantramar. And like last year, we struggled through and we were getting rules. So we were not allowed to do a tip-off. Like two guys were not allowed to stand there and tip off the ball. But they could spend the other 40 minutes of the game banging against each other under the basket, and that was fine. So it's like, who thinks up this stuff?
Yeah.
You know, there just has to be like some solid reasoning. And if you're saying that you're following the science, please follow the science. You know, like at least then people can go, that makes sense.
Right.
You know, but it feels too much like stuff is being made up on the fly, and it's getting very convoluted now as to, you know, what is going to help get us out of this and what is not. And, you know, we have seemed over the last 6 months to either be in this really restricted state, like almost overly protective and cautious. And then the next day, borders are thrown wide open. Anybody can come in. It's all good. It's like, wait a minute. how can that be? Like yesterday, you know. So I don't think they're really following the science when it comes down to it. I think there's a lot of politics going into the decision making. So, and it's affecting, like I say, businesses and people, and they just have to be more conscientious of what they're doing, and not doing it for political reasons, but doing it for actual reasons to get us out of this.
All right, Robert. Well, let's hope we'll see some of that.
That would be great.
All right.
Great.
Well, thanks for taking the time to tell us about this. And yeah, we'll stay tuned for what happens over the next month.
That's great. Thank you for your interest, Erica.
That was artist and Art Across the Marsh organizer, Robert Lyon. The studio tour has been canceled for a second year in a row, but you can stay tuned for possible online events happening in the coming months. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Friday, October 15th. As always, we do hope that you will get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.